mobility impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. Hoy, 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 the stuff that we have to talk about today. This is one of those days, of course, from now until November, there's going to be a ton of political stuff. Presidential, U.S. Senate, so on. But even at that, there's just a fresh political story every day concerning the presidential race or something going on in Wisconsin. Photo ID almost certainly will be required in Wisconsin in November. More on that later in the show. There is something that obviously I have to discuss, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time discussing it. It's the letter that's being drafted from 70 prominent Republicans telling Reince Priebus that the Republican Party should defund Donald Trump and focus exclusively on the down-ticket races, House and Senate. He's being urged to consider Trump a lost cause and try to salvage the Senate, for sure, and as many House seats as possible. It would be interesting to know how many listeners think I agree with that or disagree with that move. It would be interesting to see. Oh, yeah, Bader, he'd be all over that. Well, maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't. We'll get to that later in the show. Hillary Clinton's economic plan. And you want to talk about excuses. Basically, hang on a second. I didn't turn my phone down. You know why, Matthew? Because my stupid fingerprint thing isn't working here. So I can't get in my phone, and turn it down. It's so frustrating. Here's what happened. I ate an apple. I've got a Samsung phone, and I've put the fingerprint entry on it. I mean, if you're sweating, if it's just anything, and it's almost impossible. I need to take that off. It's driving me nuts. So I swiped it a bunch of times. I couldn't get in, and then I forgot to turn my phone down. Well, it's what everybody tells me, that an iPhone, you don't have that problem. Apparently, the next generation Samsung has now sufficiently ripped off the iPhone. So where you've got the same thing there. Anyway, the latest excuse that Hillary Clinton's ethics pledge essentially didn't cover her staff, so they could do all the quid pro quo they want. I call that a license to shill. It's just, anyway, we are going to get to all of that, but we've got a lot of really good stories to get to. Did you see the one with the 12-year-old girl with a picture of the giraffe she shot, that she's getting death threats? Okay, do you realize that giraffe fed a whole village? Does that change your perspective on it at all? I do want to get to that. And doctors asking patients if they own guns. Just a ton of stuff to get to. I actually want to start with one that is near and dear to my heart. USA Today Network, Wisconsin, which used to be Gannett. I mean, it's still Gannett, but they don't call themselves Gannett Media Wisconsin. Basically, what they're trying to do is homogenize their news product under the USA Today brand. And they still, they kind of call it the Green Bay Press-Gazette, the Apple and Post-Crescent, the Sheboygan Press, but they're all, they're trying to homogenize it all under that USA Today brand, has a story that caught my eye because of my personal background. A child dies every 3 days on farm. Every 3 days in Wisconsin, a child dies. Or is that nationally, perhaps? I believe that's nationally. Sorry. Brian Weichelt considers his family very lucky. Marshfield area farmers. During the more than 100 years, his family actually has farmed near Stratford. No child has ever died or suffered a traumatic injury while working on the family farm. That's not the case for thousands of farms across the nation. Again, that's nationally. A child dies every 3 days on average. Weichelt is among the researchers at the forefront of monitoring injuries and deaths among children related to farming and agriculture at the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety. The 2016 report from the center, released in July, shows that children on farms are much safer from non-fatal injuries today than they were 18 years ago, but not any safer from fatal ones. Okay, that's interesting. Fatal accidents happen about the same rate that they did 18 years ago, but there are fewer non-fatal injuries. Every 3 days, a child dies in an agriculture-related incident, he said. Thousands of children under the age of 20, well, it'd have to be children under the age of 18, because you're not a child once you're 18, are injured every year, with the majority of the injuries in the Midwest. Well, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. A farm can be littered with potential hazards. In 1998, the number of injuries among youth per 1,000 farms was 16.6, and by 2014, that had dropped to 5.7. That's injuries. And that comes from an effort at the Marshfield Clinic. The center develops and promotes initiatives to increase farm safety and so on. So, again, the non-fatal injuries have dropped. Fatalities haven't. And they actually think a lot of this is the use of four-wheelers. And you do see that. I mean, that has become a staple on farms for getting around. And some people think it still feels like a toy to a lot of kids. I mean, when I do drive into the rural agricultural areas, Matthew says he wouldn't know. He's never been allowed to drive one. Never? Never. Not after your sister crashed. Well, that can be a disincentive, you know. But that you do see that. You do see a lot of them, and they haul butt in the ditches. I noticed that. You know, they don't want to go on the roads. I don't get into farm country that often. But I've seen that. My wife and I have discussed this many times, and I've shared with you on the air that, you know, when I grew up on a farm, basically, I turned 18 in 1979, and then my farm days were done. So I started, it was 9 or 10, 9-ish. When I started milking when I was 8, but 9, you know, doing field work, which seems incomprehensible to me today. But I started filling silo when I was 9 years old. Old DC case tractor pulling a chopper and chopper box. And that old tractor had a hand lever clutch, which I couldn't use because my arms are too short. I had to push it with my leg, and then I had to pull it. I had to hook my foot around it to pull it back because I couldn't reach. I mean, even for a 9-year-old, I was really small because I wasn't old enough to be doing that sort of thing. But that was just the reality. And I've said this very bluntly on the air before, we farmed with junk. That was the 1970s, and our newest tractor was like 1950. And some of the implements, haymow, corn planter, that sort of thing, had seats. I wasn't an adult until I figured out why. Because they were designed to be horse-drawn. And they were modified for tractor use. In other words, you just put a hitch on them that you could pull it around with a tractor. I can't, to this day, there were eight of us. Two of us did not go, as we said, go to the barn. In other words, do farm work. That would be my oldest and youngest sisters. They did not go to the barn, is what we said. They didn't take part in the farming. The rest of us did. That none of us died is nothing short of a miracle. I'm pretty sure I've told the story on the air where we were filling silo, and of course, the self-unloader and leveler was me. And as you get the last few loads, you send the poor kid up there to level out the silage as you're putting the last few loads in so you can fill the silo. And my dad, being the just jury rigger of all time, the blower that blew the silage into the silo developed a rusty spot, a hole, where the silage comes spewing out at ground level. So he fixed it in his own inimitable way. He took an old coffee can back in the day where you could take a metal cutter and cut the metal coffee can and wrapped it around there with fencing wire. Well, of course, the blower bounces, which dislodged that old coffee can, which went up the blower, which on its way up became a piece of shrapnel. And there I am, I believe I was 11 years old at the time, and zing! I heard it coming up the blower and I ducked, and it's a good thing because based on the mark on the silo wall, it would have taken my head off. He also had this nasty habit, did my dad, of removing, some of you will understand this, some of you won't, the guards from what we call the power takeoff knuckles. The connection of the power takeoff, the PTO, from whatever implement you were pulling around on the farm to the tractor. I got my shoelace caught in the knuckles once, but it's as it was stopping. And the worst it did is just it grabbed my foot a little bit and I was okay. A farmer in our area had his leg ripped off that way. My oldest brother almost got run over by my dad when he fell off the tractor and was almost run over by the chopper box that my dad was pulling. I mean, it was amazing. Now, in today's world, obviously, it's much more modern. Most farms are fairly modern, high-tech operations. But the reality does exist. People who live on farms, who have kids, get comfortable with kids doing things that really are adult jobs. I mean, that is a reality. And you don't have OSHA coming in the way you do, which, by the way, would completely bury the dairy industry if you did. But there is just this comfort level because of the nature of especially smaller farms, and there are still some smaller farms. Not all farms in Wisconsin are 3,000 and 5,000 cow efforts. But I think one thing that hasn't changed is if you're raised around this stuff, there's a comfort level. I mean, it is amazing when I look back on it that, I mean, I was really small for a 9-year-old. And there I am out by myself driving this huge, well, for me, big farm implement, pulling a chopper, and I'll admit, I wasn't the handiest kid in the world. I was clumsy and kind of awkward. It's a miracle that I and the rest of us survived. The sister immediately older than me, we loose-chopped hay, and you had I can't think of the name of it right now, that we use to dislodge the hay that was chopped in. It looked like a pitchfork, but then it's bent over, a hook or whatever we called it. She threw it down, and then she jumped off the pile, not watching where she threw that, and it went right through her leg. And then she expected me to pull it out. I'm like 8 or 9. So instead, I ran to get my parents. She didn't wait for me. She pulled it out. And she's limping by the time my dad heads to the barn. She's limping out the barn door, made her way down the haymow. I'm not surprised that it's still an issue. And I don't have a problem with kids helping out on the farm. And I think most people today, again, you know, don't have the horror stories that I grew up with. But I can see where they happen. Dan writes, Jerry, my brother and I laugh at some of the things we survived on the farm. I enjoy your stories. I almost rolled an old tractor by backing over the three-wheeler. Yeah, I mean, that. You know, it's just, farm life is dangerous. And it is basically a manufacturing operation where you allow kids to hang around and work. And I think steps that you can take to make it safer absolutely make sense. All right. In the next hour, there's so much stuff I want to get to. There's good news on the photo ID front for voting in Wisconsin. But I want to spend a lot of time on everything. And I don't have time. I need a flux capacitor to do today's show. I just have to talk about the 12-year-old girl who's getting death threats for posting on Facebook a picture of herself with the giraffe that she killed on safari. 12-year-old Utah hunter's graphic Facebook photo causing worldwide outrage, spurring death threats. Now, here's what I'll say. It is kind of macabre when you realize the giraffe is dead, because it almost looks like, you know, like she's with a puppy. You know, the giraffe's head right by, and you don't realize the animal is dead. But death threats and these Facebook posts, what a sick little person you are, and so on. Now, I've never been into trophies. I mean, I've killed things hunting. There's one picture, I shouldn't say that. There's one picture with a pheasant. My brother and I with a pheasant, I think he shot it. We were out hunting together. I think it was the first thing he ever bagged while hunting, and our mom took a picture of it. Other than that, I'm actually not into the pose. I'm not judging people. But I'm not into the posing with your kill that way. Want to talk about that? Our friends who listen after 9 o'clock in Sheboygan, boy, do I have one for them. But it is generalizable to all of us. This idea that federal money is free money and what it gets spent on. This is a great story, and it dovetails with Hillary Clinton in her economic speech, essentially trying to bring back the New Deal. Well, we'll create jobs by spending billions and billions and billions on infrastructure. It really all does come together. So a ton of stuff to get to. I'll get to what I can starting at 9:06. It is 9 o'clock.